Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown, and today is Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. From now on, the show is going to be on www.blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. And the call-in number, which is at the top of your screen, is 646-595-2831. For I found out after the show last week that the people who signed up on the Star Princess cruise last month, I didn't get the email to them. Hopefully everything got corrected and they have it today, but just a quick review. I've been a motivational speaker for 22 years, and I've authored 3 books. The first one was called A Rose Garden, Living in Concert with Spirit, and then Spiritual Breadcrumbs in the Universe, and also co-authored a book with Jack Canfield called Getting Things Done, Keys to a Well-Balanced Life. All these books are available on Amazon, and they're available as e-books. If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. That's jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. All the shows I did on the Joy Cafe Network from January through September, I have duplicated on my site, which again is www.blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. So you can go there and you can download any one of those. As I mentioned, the people who signed up on the Star Princess didn't get the email last week, so we're welcoming you to our show. You are safe. No harm will come to you in this space. My goal every week is to bring more love, happiness, joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. Each week, I ask you to listen to the show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show and implementing it into your daily life. At the end of the show, I always ask the question, what was the most important thing you got out of the show today? And if you take that and you write it down somewhere, pretty soon you're going to have a real good library of things that you want to get into. My opening quote today is by William James, and it is, "The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another." Let's repeat that. The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. And the opening, I don't know what we're going to call these, jokes or funny emails, is about engineers. So, now, engineers, being married to a pharmacist for 46 years, I think their mentality is pretty much the same as an engineer. I think a CPA's mentality is the same. So we just call these engineers, but you can call them whatever you want. First one is, two engineering students were biking across a university campus when one said, "Where'd you get such a great bike?" The second engineer replied, "Well, I was walking along yesterday minding my own business when a beautiful woman rode up on this bike, threw it to the ground, took off all her clothes, and said, 'Take what you want.'" The first engineer nodded approvingly and said, "Good choice. The clothes probably wouldn't have fit you anyway." Sure, I'm glad I'm not an engineer. Second one is about a priest, a doctor, and an engineer who were waiting one morning for a particularly slow group of golfers. The engineer fumed. "What is it with these guys? We've been waiting for them for 15 minutes. Doctor chimed in, "I don't know, but but I've never seen such inept golf. The priest said, here comes the greenskeeper. Let's have a word with him. He said, hello, George. What's wrong with that group in front of us? They're rather slow, aren't they? The greenskeeper replied, oh, yes, that's a group of blind firemen. They lost their sight, saving our clubhouse from a fire last year. So we always let them play for free any time. The group fell silent for a moment. The priest said, that's so sad. I think I will say a special prayer for them tonight. The doctor said, good idea. I'm going to contact my ophthalmologist colleague and see if there's anything she can do for them. The engineer said, why can't they play at night? And the last one is three engineering students were gathered together discussing who must have designed the human body. One said it was a mechanical engineer. Just look at all the joints. Another said, no, it was an electrical engineer. The nervous system has many thousands of electrical connections. The last one said, no, actually, it had to have been done by a civil engineer. Who else would run a toxic waste pipeline through a recreational area? You got to think about that one, don't you? So today I'm going to talk about minimizing holiday stress. And it's November 5th, and what is it, 3 weeks from Thursday? Or 2 weeks from Thursday? I don't know, when's Thanksgiving? The 21st or the 28th is Thanksgiving. And pretty much there's four major holidays. There's Thanksgiving, there's Hanukkah, there's Christmas, and there's New Year's. And most people celebrate just three of the four. Although I've talked to a lot of Jewish people who had the luxury when they were growing up of celebrating Hanukkah and Christmas. But anyway, it doesn't make any difference how many of them you celebrate. The concept is the same. I'm not a believer that January is flu season. The nurse practitioner I go to says that she gets a flu shot and she doesn't get the flu, but she didn't before she didn't get a flu shot. She still didn't get the flu, so she doesn't know if she didn't get the flu because of the flu shot or not. My point is, I don't think January is flu season. I think the reason people get the flu in January is that they just stress themselves out from preparing for Thanksgiving through New Year's Day. They party, they eat, they drink, they stay up late, they have a lot of sweets, they gain weight. There's an enormous amount of stress associated with it, and the body just collapses. And our society says it's okay to stay home in bed if you're sick, but it's not okay to stay home and just take care of your body. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to start this whole thing talking about our body. Nowhere that I'm aware of do people teach us that our body's our best friend. We treat our car better than we treat our body. We don't put poison into our gas tank. We don't put sand in our gas tank. We put poison into our body. We drink too much. We eat too much sugar. Well, I gotta plead guilty for that one. I love sweets. I don't have a sweet tooth. I have a whole sweet mouth. We gotta learn that our body not only is our best friend, it's the only vehicle we have in our life to get us around. When it dies or poops out, life is over. So we gotta treat our body like it is our best friend. And we all know that our body talks to us, don't we? So we're going to talk about how our body talks to us, and we're going to talk about listening to our body. But first, I just want to go through a few of the ways our body talks to us all the time. First thing is, it'll tell us when we've had too much to eat, whether we've eaten the wrong thing, whether we've drank too much, whether we've drank the wrong thing. I mean, my body is great. If I've eaten something, let's just say lunch a half hour, 45 minutes ago, I ate something that my body doesn't like. I'll go to the bathroom four or five times before dinner time. My body says, let's get this out of my body. Let's get it out of here. Let's get it out of here. Well, then our key is to make that association and say, oops, the body doesn't like this, so I'm not going to put it in it. The first food that didn't agree with me was pork. I haven't had pork in 45 years. because my body says, I don't tolerate pork. My body doesn't like avocado. My body doesn't like garlic. What doesn't your body like? How does it tell you, I don't like this? Don't put this in me. What's the key here? We got to listen to our body, don't we? Now, the next thing is that our body tells us when we're in stress, doesn't it? Now, I do a program, and I did it on the cruise ship, asking people how their body tells them that it's in a stressful situation. The first item of discussion is what causes stress. And then the second item of discussion is how does your body tell you it's in a stressful situation? And we all have different ways that our body tells us it's in a stressful situation. Some people eat all the time. Some people can't eat. Some people sleep all the time. Some people can't sleep. Some people get headaches. Some people, what else do we have? They get heart palpitations. There's all kinds of ways that your body, and it's unique to each one of us, each one of our bodies tells us when it's a stressful situation. And for me, the more stress, the more it becomes the flight or fight syndrome. In other words, my hands and my feet get really cold. How does your body tell you that the situation you're in is creating stress? So that needs to become the first thing that you hear from your body. Hey, this is stressful. Stop doing it. Change the way you look at it. The Course in Miracles says that there's another way to look at this. And anytime you're in any situation that creates upset, say, how else can I see this? Stress is a part of life. 80%+ of medical office visits are stress-related. So how do we manage that stress, and how do we consciously and in an aware way work to minimize it? That's your responsibility. That's each one of our responsibilities. Now, another way our body talks to us is it tells us when we haven't had enough sleep, doesn't it? And each one of us has a different amount of time that we need to sleep. And we all find that at different ages in our life, we need to sleep more or less. That's your body telling you, hey, I can't continue on this schedule. And guess what? Your body is in charge, isn't it? It'll say, you can't keep doing this to me. And you ignore it. You can't keep doing this to me. And you get a cold, or you get the flu, or you get a heart attack, or you get a stroke, or the body just says, you just won't listen to me. Game's over. Boom. We're done. We're dead. Next thing is that our body tells us, obviously, when we strained our muscles. When I officiated in the 80s and I guess the early 90s, I had partially torn the fibers in my Achilles tendon. And I would limp from the strain. And I would do 3 basketball games once a week in an industrial league, and I'd limp to the car. And then I went, and at the time they would give a shot of cortisone. So I went to a doctor and gave me a shot of cortisone, and I didn't feel the pain anymore. I immediately called the guy I worked for and said, I can't do this anymore. Because what happened? I knew that all that had happened is that they had deadened the nerve so that the message of pain from my Achilles tendon to my brain was no longer there. Well, with that message of pain, I'm able to adjust my body to accommodate it, right? And not do the things that injured part won't tolerate. But without that message, I assume everything is fine and I can do irreparable damage. So our body, when it's in physical pain, is sending a message. If you've never asked your body what it's trying to tell you, now is the time to start. So an easy way to do it, for those of us who are visual people, you can do it in your head, you can do it physically. Put a chair, sit down, put a chair in front of you, and imagine that your body's sitting in that chair next to you, in front of you, just like it's another you, another part of you. Ask your body, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to teach me? Now, you can go along, and next week's program is going to be I'm going to be talking about power versus victim. You can go along and believe that you're a victim and that this is all stuff that happens to you. Or you can go along and say, hey, I am 100% responsible for everything in my life. I co-create this. My body is my partner in my life, and I have created this. Now I need to understand how I created it, why I created it, and what I'm going to do about it. So you need to talk to your body and say, what are you trying to teach me? Don't just accept, oh, this happened, that happened, the other thing, because then you're a victim. Now when you ask your body, what are you trying to teach me here? You're going to get an answer. You'll always get an answer. Now, the key is not to process through this through your analytical left brain. You have to allow your heart to give you the message. Allow that to be the only place that the answer is processed through. And then you have to trust whatever you hear. That's the first big challenge, is to trust whatever you hear. So now this is where we're going to begin our holiday conversations. It's time to have a conversation with your body. So you might try something like this. Say, hey, body, for the next 5 weeks, I'm going to eat a lot more food than I usually eat. I'm going to eat food I don't normally eat. I'm going to drink a lot more than alcohol than I usually drink. I may stay up a lot later than I ordinarily do. I may have more stress than normal. I may be going to more parties. I may be doing shopping. I may be wrapping gifts, etc. Now, you want to tailor this conversation to you, because you may not be doing all of this. So ask your body if it agrees to allowing you to go through this period until January 2nd. Or, you know, if you don't celebrate New Year's, then, you know, December 26th or whatever day, you know, this is customized to you and what it is your wants and needs are. And say, hey, I'm going to spend a day, 2 days, 3 days in bed, and all I'm going to do is nurture my body and rest my body so that it can recover from the strain that I'm going to put on it for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And then say, hey, body, you don't have to get sick for me to rest and take care of you. I love you. You're the only buddy I have here. You are my source of life. I need to take care of you. And say, hey, body, do you agree to do this? You're going to get one of three answers. One, the body will say yes. Two, the body will say no. Or three, the body will give you some restrictions and say, well, you know, we can't do this or we can't do that. But this is okay, that's okay. Listen to what the answers are. Listen with your heart, okay? So the key here, the whole thing, is you need to develop the habit of being in touch with your body. And the more that's going on, the more important it is that you tune into it. I've been having a problem in a relationship, and I wanted to react the way this other person was putting out energy, and I could feel it in my stomach and say, no, I can't do that. I got to be true to myself. I got to do what's for my highest and greatest good. And revenge is never going to do that. Hurting another person that's hurt you is never going to heal your wound, ever. So we need to listen to our body. And hopefully at the end of the program, when I ask you what's the most important thing you got out of this, you're going to say, hey, I have to listen to my body. I've ignored my body my whole life. And then I got to have a conversation with my body. I got to talk to my body. So no matter, this doesn't have to be limited to the holiday season. I used to be a director of budget. Well, that was a 4-month process. Well, talk to your body. Go through it. You're going to travel. We travel internationally at least once a year. Well, in the spring, what we're going to do is we're going to take a cruise from Fort Lauderdale to St. Petersburg, Russia. I'm good, time-wise, between the East Coast and West Coast, or West Coast and East Coast of the United States. As soon as I have to cross the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, it takes me 8 to 10 days to get over the jet lag. My body doesn't deal well with it. Rosemary, on the other hand, boom, no problem at all. So each one of our bodies is different. So let's get into developing a plan. So we've spent 20 minutes talking about talking to our body and listening to our body. Now let's talk about looking at the holiday season as if we're business people, and we got to develop a business plan for the upcoming session. The session is going to include Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, and or New Year's. So it's going to be 1, 2, 3, or all four of those sessions, those holidays. The first thing I'm going to suggest, and you remember, you're in a, what do they call that, a buffet? You can pick and choose whatever you want. You don't have to do what I tell you to do. First thing I'm going to suggest is that we have to delegate. Now, delegation is not, and those of us who are in management find that delegation isn't necessarily something that's very easy for people to do. You don't have to do everything. As long as you're planning on doing everything, somebody will sit there and they'll watch you and say, wow, go ahead, keep doing it. You're going to do it? Great, I'll just sit here. You can plan the meal, you can buy the food, pardon me, you can cook the food, you can do everything, I'll just show up and eat the food and say thank you very much. Or maybe I won't even say thank you. I'll watch you perform as long as you want to do it. And I'll watch you just run yourself right into the ground. Most people don't care or aren't aware of the stress and the strain that is on your body. So what you want to do now is you want to delegate it to somebody else. Give up some of the control. Let's look at it this way. Your body's only got a certain number of miles on it. Take better care of it. Let go of some of the things. So let's start with delegating the holiday meal. At some point, maybe it's just easier either to get the meal catered or to eat out. Consider that as a choice. Well, let's talk about menu planning. You can do that alone or you can do it with somebody else. I think it's kind of cool to do it with someone else because you're going to get new things in. Sometimes people like the same old thing every single time. Sometimes it's ready. It's time for somebody else to have some ideas. Next thing would be, how about letting somebody else doing the shopping? Yep, you can do that. You can let somebody else do the shopping. You can even let them prepare the meal. When is it going to be time for you to pass on the baton so that your recipes are passed on? Rosemary's mom, Rosemary's Italian, and obviously then her mom is Italian, and she made these amazing Italian potatoes. And I have no idea how they were made. It was in a clear glass Pyrex dish, and they were circular potatoes, maybe a half inch high. She put diced tomatoes on them. I don't know if she put oil on it. I think she put oregano on it. She baked it in the oven. They were absolutely delicious. Rosemary's an only child. Rosemary's mom has passed on. We don't have the recipe. Love to have the recipe. Same thing with my mom and her cookies. She was an amazing baker. Baked these awesome cookies. I don't have any of those recipes. So maybe in addition to what you do as far as preparing a meal for a holiday would be to give everybody the recipe. You can email it to them, and that way they're going to have it forever. You could email it, and you could print it out, and you could give everybody a copy of your recipes. What better way of you being carried on after you're no longer here than every time they eat something that's your recipe, they think of you? So we're talking about preparing the meals. How about getting somebody as a co-chair, and you become the mentor? And you teach the next generation how to do this. Dealer's choice. gifts, and cards. Review the people you have you want to get gifts for and see who can be eliminated. So often we just keep doing it. And some, a lot of times we've done this. We've pared down the list. Do we need to exchange with this person or exchange with that person? And decide who you need to exchange with. And some of it is just because we've always done it that way. It's obligatory or obligatory, however you want to say it. See how many people you can eliminate from the list. Then the next thing is, if you can pare down your list, the next thing to do would be, how much of this shopping can you do online? That doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy it online, although you can buy it online. I, for example, I don't like buying stuff online because I like to touch everything. So I look at a shirt online, I don't know what it feels like. I go to the store and I feel a shirt and I don't care what it looks like. If I don't like the way it feels, I'm not going to buy it. But you can still shop and find out and save a lot of wear and tear and time, because you can shop whatever time you want to shop. Incidentally, I saw in this morning's paper, you'll love this, you shopping fiends. Both Sears and Kmart, I believe, are going to be open all night, Thanksgiving night. So technically, Black Friday is going to start on Thanksgiving. You can just shop. You can eat your heart out all day on Thanksgiving, and then you're fuller than you've ever been or been since last Thanksgiving, and you can go shopping. Okay. So all the stores we know are going to have websites. Look on the website. Takes a lot less time, and it's a lot less stress. Another idea for gift giving is to give gift cards. Rosemary doesn't like to do that because she thinks about people and she thinks about what they want to do. So this isn't going to work for everybody or in every situation. But a gift card is a lot easier, number one, and number two, it gives the individual the flexibility of buying what they want. And we know we've all done this and we've seen it done to us. Somebody gives us a gift, or we give somebody a gift, and they say, oh boy, how neat this is, because that's the way we're supposed to respond in gratitude about a gift. And then what happens? We don't like it. We exchange it. We take it back. You go to the stores the day after Christmas and see how many people are in line bringing stuff back. A gift card is a great way to give and let the person know that you love them and that you're thinking of them, and let them get what they want or need for themselves. The next thing then is, you're going to get some of these gifts. How about having the store wrap the gifts? Is it going to cost you a little extra money? Yep. But have you ever thought about how much you pay for wrapping and how much your time is worth, and remembering that you have made a commitment that you're going to take better care of your body during this holiday season? So maybe the little extra money it might cost you is worth the time it saves you and the stress. And I can hear Rosemary say, but I wrap the presents so much more beautifully. And she's 100% right. And she's a woman. And I'm a man. And I just tear the gift open. Doesn't make me a bad person, does it? Let's talk about cards. Christmas cards, Hanukkah cards, sending them out. So we're basically, for the most part, just talking about either Christmas or Hanukkah. Very few people send out Thanksgiving cards. Very few people send out New Year's cards. But another idea is, don't send the cards out at Christmas time or Hanukkah time. Wait until after the first of the year. Send out Valentine's Day cards. Not many people get Valentine's Day cards, do they? Just throw that out. So the cards, we got to have labels, don't we? We got to print the address. Well, I found it a couple years ago. I typed them all in. I did it one time. Then bang, they're all in the computer. I print out the labels every year, or maybe you want to go and print 2 or 3 years worth of labels out. You don't have to be concerned about that if your gift, your card list doesn't change. Now, the next thing is, many people write a personal note in each card. Now, some people send you these letters, and some of these letters seem like they're autobiographies. They're a little bit too much detail. They're a little too cutesy. If there's four people in the family, you can't tell who really wrote this. And if I'm going to write you a letter, I'm going to let you know that it's me that's writing you the letter. But this is just all my point of view. Each one of us does it differently, and that's the whole idea, is to do it your way and to be able to enjoy it and to be able to take some of the stress and the strain off of everything you do. Now, if we look at all the things that we're doing and you decide to change two or three of them, that's awesome, because you're going to have a happier and a less stressful holiday season. And that's what we're trying to do today, is just give you ideas of things that you might be able to change that'll make your holiday season more enjoyable, more fun, and a lot less stressful. Remember that when you're doing the cards, it's a gift of love. And like I said, you can't wear your body out. You just can't. So I'm going to get into eating and drinking. But before I do that, let's just take a minute and a half song or music or whatever it's called, and I'll be right back. So what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about eating and drinking some more, taking care of our body. I'm going to summarize it and tell you a story, and we're going to be out of here. To invoke the age-old saying about eating and drinking, do everything in moderation. And let me add one more thing to that. Let's focus in this upcoming holiday season about doing everything consciously and with awareness. So now let's develop our plan. Eating. Don't tell Mom, but let's plan to leave something on every plate, especially the dessert plate. Gasol taught me at Jenny Craig with the desserts, take three bites. Boom. You know, I was raised, you have to clean your plate. Now, most of you work, and you work outside the home, so my challenge to you is keep track of this, and I'm going to get into it in a little bit more detail. But how often can you pass on the goodies at work? What if you had a goal for yourself and you said, you know, I need to say no 3 times a day, 5 times a day, whatever times a day, to something. Just say no. Boom. Don't let that sweet tooth or that, you know, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You really have to focus on that, because we were brought up as little kids, don't hurt anybody else's feelings. And again, I go back to Rosemarie, and her family is Italian. And when we got engaged, I'm part Italian, Irish, Canadian, French, and Welsh. So I was just, the way I was taught when I grew up is when you went to somebody's home, you eat to be polite. You don't eat like a pig. Well, that's not the way it is in the Italian culture. If you eat, eating is your way of showing that you love that person. That person prepared this for you, and you have to eat it. because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Now, her mom's feelings were hurt for a long time because my family didn't eat. She brings out ravioli. And I thought, holy cow, this is awesome. Ravioli, I love it. Boom, eat ravioli, I'm stuffed. Then she brings out roast beef. I'd never seen that before in my life. I was already full. I thought that ravioli was the dinner, not an appetizer. So when you go out, you don't be afraid to hurt somebody else's feelings. You need to take care of yourself first. I give you permission to take care of yourself, to place yourself as the number one person in your life for the rest of your life. That is your responsibility. And you can be the best to the rest of us when you come to every life experience with a full tank of gas. Not when you're exhausted, not when you're stuffed, not when you're always out there to try and please somebody else. How about pleasing yourself first? Take care of yourself first. Now again, don't tell mom that we're leaving stuff on the plate. Let's talk about drinking. Why don't you decide right now? I'm going to limit my drinking to one drink. I pick a number one. You know, some of you can have more than one and it's not a big deal, but drinking isn't calories. We have a friend in Arizona and he had, stomach staple surgery or something like that. And he says he can't gain weight except through alcohol. But he'll have several drinks, so obviously he gains weight. What if you say, I'm only going to have one drink? If you go to a party and you say, I'm only going to have one drink, then you know, because you're consciously aware you're only going to have one drink, you're going to baby that drink for the whole night. Boom. You're done. You take care of it. You decide ahead of time. Let's go to sweets next. Cookies. When my mom baked chocolate chip cookies, I had control. I was 18 years old. I could eat 50 of her cookies and then say, that's it, I'm not going to have another cookie. Now I'm a little bit older, actually 50 years older, and I can't eat 50 cookies. I'd love to, but we know what would happen. Pardon me. We went on a cruise, it was 5 years ago, and it was a 35-day cruise. And I went to the gym 31 times in 35 days and did 17 miles on the recumbent bike a day. And I gained 22 pounds. So, this is something I need to work on. That's why I'm talking about it today, because this is something, and my integrity is very important to me. So, that means I have to be working on what I'm talking to you about. So, this plan for the holiday seasons has to be part of my plan too. So with the cookies, you say, I'm only going to have whatever number of cookies you're going to have. What do? You take smaller bites. You baby it. If it's cake, again, you take two or three bites and you leave the rest. So the last thing I want to talk about is taking care of our body. We got to set a bedtime and we got to have a minimum number of hours of sleep. Okay, set your bedtime, set the minimum number of hours you're going to sleep, and then this must be your number one priority. So what does that mean? That means there's going to be other things that are going to come up, and you're going to say, well, I have to stay up late. Instead of going to bed at 11 o'clock, I'm going to have to stay up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever it happens to be. No. That means now we go back to the first thing we talked about, and that is to delegate. You got to delegate it or find another way to get it done without using and abusing your body. You can't do that. You just can't do it. Your body is all you got. You got to make it your number one priority. Now, all of you probably have a calendar, whether it's a manual calendar or whether it's a computerized calendar. So we're going to set time up for our body, and things happen. And what happens in our life is we end up doing the urgent things in life, and the important things get put on the back burner. So the urgent things are going to be getting stuff ready for Thanksgiving dinner, getting the menu, doing this and that and the other thing, blah, 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 blah. You know, up by us here, Pavilions and Galson's both have incredible deals on a Thanksgiving dinner. Everything, the turkey, the potatoes, the dressing, the pie, the whole thing. You go in there, bang, you get it. All you got to do is heat the stuff up, and you're done. You're good to go. There's a lot of ways to play this game than the way that you've been playing it. And if the way you've been playing it works for you, great. Then stick with it. So your calendar, how about putting a meditation on your calendar? How about putting a nap on your calendar? How about putting nurturing yourself on your calendar? Do it like it's a business meeting. Okay, if you got a meeting with your boss and it's scheduled at 3 o'clock, boom, you got a meeting. After I get done with the show here, I'm going to call Barbara Ann. We're going to go meet. And that's, you know, that's a business meeting. Bang, off we go. So set this up as a calendar. You have to manage it. You can't allow it to manage you. You have to manage it. So let's summarize this. And that is, number one, we want to develop a plan for all aspects of the upcoming holiday season. Put it on your computer, print it out, and keep it where you will see it every day. Put it somewhere like on the refrigerator or in the bathroom. So you're going to develop a plan, you're going to print it out, you're going to put it where you see it every day. Next thing you're going to do is you're going to talk to your body and you're going to listen to your body. This has got to be the best friend you're ever going to have in your life, your body. Treat it like it's royalty. Treat it like it's the head of state, the head of a country, the head of a religion. Treat your body with love, with reverence, with respect. Listen to your body. Last week in yoga, Barbara said, honor your body just the way it is today. Rosemary's cousin Marianne has had two bouts with cancer. And she said, I can't garden all day the way I used to. And maybe now this is the new me. Absolutely, it's the new you. So honor your body wherever it is today. And that's the biggest lesson I've gotten out of yoga. I don't compete with the person on my right or my left or my right side or my left side or what I did yesterday or what I did last week. Honor your body the way it is today. Our bodies are constantly changing as we move through life. We need to honor it. Our body talks to us. It issues caution signs. We need to heed the caution signs. We don't wait until we're full to stop eating because we know when we have the sensation that we're full, that it's too late. We've eaten too much. Last time I got drunk was 45 years ago. And I would have a half a glass of iced tea here in my hand. And let's say that's a drink. And I'm sitting there and it's that one and I'm thinking, oh, I should have quit before this drink. Well, we all know. Now I was 23 and I haven't been drunk since then. But I learned that then. It's the same thing with eating or drinking. How much can I eat or drink? Oh, that's so good. Well, we got to be consciously aware of what we're putting into our body and how much our body can take. There's no point in being unhappy or miserable because we ate or drank so much. We set it ahead of time. Set the limits ahead of time. This is how much I'm going to eat, how much I'm going to drink, how much sweets. So let's play a game. Let's make it a game. Let's play like we're kids. How many times a day can you say no thanks? Make a goal. Reward yourself for reaching your goal, whatever number of no's it is per holiday season. And then give yourself a treat. Whatever the treat would be to you, but it wouldn't be what you gave up. You know, if I gave up candy, it wouldn't be going out and get myself a box of candy or a box of cookies or something like that. Do something that feels good to you, that's healthy, or say I'm going to go get a pedicure, a manicure, a massage, whatever it is. So here we are at 45 minutes into this, and my question is, what is the most important thing that you've gotten out of today's program? So today we're going to go probably be another 5 or 6 minutes, so it'll be a shorter one today. The closing quote is by D.M. Dellinger. This is my wish for you. Peace of mind, prosperity through the year, happiness that multiplies, health for you and yours, fun around every corner, energy to chase your dreams, and joy to fill your holidays. Again, that's by D.M. Dellinger. So here's my closing story today. A brand new pastor and his wife, newly assigned to their first ministry, to reopen a church in suburban Brooklyn, arrived in early October excited about their opportunities. When they saw their church, it was very run down and needed a lot of work. They set the goal to have everything done in time for their first service on Christmas Eve. They worked hard, repairing pews, plastering walls, painting, and on December 18th, they were ahead of schedule and just about finished. On December 19th, there was a terrible tempest. A driving rainstorm hit the area and lasted for 2 days. On December 21st, the pastor went over to the church. His heart sank when he saw that the roof had leaked, causing a large area of plaster, about 20 feet by 8 feet, to fall off the front wall of the sanctuary just behind the pulpit, beginning about head high. The pastor cleaned up the mess on the floor and, not knowing what else to do but to postpone the Christmas Eve service, headed home. On the way, he noticed that a local business was having a flea market-type sale for charity, so he stopped in. One of the items was a beautiful handmade ivory-colored crocheted tablecloth with exquisite work, fine colors, and a cross embroidered right in the center. It was just the right size to cover up the hole on the front wall. He bought it and headed back to the church. By this time, it had started to snow. An older lady was running from the opposite direction trying to catch the bus, but she missed it. The pastor invited her to wait in a warm church for the next 45 minutes. She sat in the pew and didn't pay any attention to the pastor when he got the ladder, hangers, etc., to put up the tablecloth as a wall tapestry. He could hardly believe the pastor how beautiful it looked and covered up the entire problem area. Then he noticed a woman walking down the center aisle. Her face was like a sheet. "Pastor, where'd you get that tablecloth?" The woman asked him to check the lower right-hand corner to see if the initials EBG were crocheted into the tablecloth. They were. These were the initials of this woman, and she had made the tablecloth 35 years before in Austria. The woman could hardly believe it as the pastor told her how he had gotten the tablecloth. The woman explained that before the war, she and her husband were well-to-do people in Austria. When the Nazis came, she was forced to leave. Her husband was going to follow her the next week. He was captured and he was sent to prison, and she never saw her husband or her home again. The pastor wanted to give her the tablecloth, but she made the pastor keep it for the church. The pastor then insisted on driving her home because it was the least he could do. She lived on the other side of Staten Island and was only in Brooklyn for the day for a cleaning job. When the wonderful service they had on Christmas Eve, the church was almost full. The music and the spirit was great. At the end of the service, the pastor and his wife greeted everybody at the door, and many of them said that they would return. One older man, whom the pastor recognized from the neighborhood, continued to sit in one of the pews and stare. And the pastor wondered why he wasn't leaving. The man asked him where he got the tablecloth on the front wall, because it was identical to the one that his wife had made many years ago when they lived in Austria before the war. And how could there be two tablecloths so much alike? He told the pastor how the Nazis came, how he forced his wife to flee for her safety, and he was supposed to follow her, but he was arrested and put in prison. He never saw his wife or his home again. in all the 35 years in between. The pastor asked him if he would allow him to take him for a little ride. They drove to Staten Island and to the same house where the pastor had taken the woman 3 days earlier. He helped the man climb the 3 flights of stairs to the woman's apartment. He knocked on the door, and he saw the greatest Christmas reunion he could ever imagine. Now, I don't know about you, but that brings tears to my eyes. That is absolutely what I call divine synchronicity. Next week, next Tuesday, which is November 12th, we're going to have the show at 2 o'clock, as always. And next week, the show is going to be on power versus victim. And we're going to talk about how each one of us has our story and how often that becomes our identity. When I counseled people on this last cruise, what I saw was that a lot of them argued for their limitations. I heard that first from Michael Beckwith, who's the pastor at Agape. Argue for your limitations and they are yours. And I'm trying to give people a new way to take back their power and to be able to love. And they're saying, no, poor me. So we're going to look at being a victim and what that means. We're going to talk about the idea of you, are you willing to let go of a story that no longer serves you? Because if you do, until you take on the new story, you're going to go, oh my God, I don't have an identity. Who am I without this victim tag that I have on me, without my story? So that's something we're going to have to talk about and you're going to need to think about before you're willing to give up the concept of being a victim and always take back your own power and learn that we're not going to give our power to anybody. That's what the program's going to be about next week. There was a lady, and she hasn't called in, Unstar Princess that doesn't have a computer, and if you don't have a computer, you can call in and listen to the show on the telephone, and that's 646-595-2831. So that becomes a call-in number or instead of a computer. For those of you today who are listening for the first time who were on the Star Princess, there's no bingo following me today or any day. As we conclude, I conclude simply by reminding you to love yourself, and I send love from my heart to your heart, and I ask you to receive this love, and I ask you to share this love. There is an infinite supply of love, and the most beautiful thing about the holidays is that's when most of us are the most loving. So love yourself, share the love with other people, and I'll see you next Tuesday, the 12th of November, at 2 o'clock, where we talk about power versus victim. Bye-bye.